Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live at our Sunday morning service. Our speaker today is Mike Gillingham, reader at St. James. We continue our summer series with Jesus is the Light of the World, and today our talk is entitled, What is Unique About Jesus? The readings are taken from Hebrews 1 verses 1 to 4, followed by 7 to 12, and Colossians 1 verses 15 to 20. You can watch the whole service on our YouTube channel, which is linked on our website.
The first reading is from Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 4 and 7 to 12. And I'm reading from the Contemporary English Version. Long ago, in many ways and at many times, God's prophets spoke his message to our ancestors. But now, at last, God sent his Son to bring his message to us. God created the universe by his Son, and everything will someday belong to the Son. God's Son has all the brightness of God's own glory and is like him in every way. By his own mighty word, he holds the universe together. After the Son had washed away our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the glorious God in heaven. He had become much greater than the angels, and the name he was given is far greater than any of theirs. And when God speaks about angels, he says, I change my angels into wind, and my servants are flaming fire. But God says about his Son, you are God, and you will rule as king forever. Your royal power brings about justice. You loved justice, and you hated evil. And so I, your God, has chosen you. I appointed you and made you happier than any of your friends. The scriptures also say, in the beginning, Lord, you were the one who laid the foundation of the earth and created the heavens. They will all disappear and wear out like clothes, but you will last forever. You will roll them up like a robe and change them like a garment, but you are always the same, and you will live forever. This is the word of the Lord.
Our second reading is Colossians chapter 1, and I'm starting at verse 15. And this is titled, The Supremacy of the Son of God. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. This is the word of the Lord.
This talk is going to be a bit theological, but I find that theory has a way of changing the way we think and act. Let us pray. Our Father, as we think about your Son and the Father and the Spirit, may we know how to follow you more closely. Amen. Now, I want you to take you back nearly 2,000 years, supposing that you are a Jew who has just heard about Jesus and you've entered this new religion. But you were used to the Jewish way of worshipping God. Instead of our harvest festivals, which are a recent innovation, you have a week-long series of feasts in tents. In each garden, you make a tent, a bit like these, only bigger, because you've got to get the whole family in, and you decorate them beautifully with everything you can. Oh, yeah, ours are not quite so nicely decorated. And you have a feast. I like the feast. All the food you could want. And more than that, you stay out in the garden, all the family, in a tent for a whole week. A great time for the children and, of course, the whole family. So much better than our pathetic little harvest festivals that last a few hours at most. And there was another harvest festival for the first fruits that we know as Pentecost. And then think about the Passover. Some of you came to the Passover celebration with me earlier on. And that was just a poor shadow of the real thing, which lasts to the wee small hours with special songs for children after midnight. Do you want to stay up after midnight, kids? This was your time to do it. And you were all together and you had a wonderful feast. Now, we had nice food, but I'm not sure I would describe it as a stomach-filling feast. And it was wonderful. And then you get this new Christianity. And what do you get? A little bit of bread, a little bit of wine. Of course, you can still celebrate all the Jewish festivals. Nothing stops you or us. But do you feel a little let down? Well, that may have been the background to the epistle to the Hebrews. What does this new faith have to get excited about? What do we have to get excited about? Well, the Jews could say all this: God spake to our ancestors through the prophets many times in many ways. They had loads and loads of them. But now, in these last days, God has spoken to us by his Son, who is appointed heir of all things, through whom he made the universe. So now the maker of the universe has spoken to us. Not just any old prophet, the maker of the universe. And just in case you were any doubt, the Son is a radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his being. Real God, really here, really talking to you. Not just a prophet, not just a servant, but the real God. How exciting is that? He's just like us in appearance, one of us who understands the one who made us. And in case you wonder whether Jesus can really be God, there's this quotation. About the Son, he says, "Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever." And the promise of a new kingdom of justice. Goodness, don't we need kingdoms of justice, a kingdom of justice throughout all the world? I'm listening to the news, how we need that kingdom of justice. But of course, not everyone accepts Jesus as God. This is Charles Taze, I'm not sure how to pronounce it, Russell, lived from 1852 to 1916. And in the 1870s, he started a Bible study institute, which eventually became the Jehovah's Witnesses, because he was predicting in the 1870s that the end of the world would happen in 1878. And 1881, and 1914, and 1918, and 1925. And I remember when I was teaching in the mid-70s, one of our teachers left to spend the last year evangelizing for the Jehovah's Witnesses. In 1976, he came back to the school and said, "Can I have my job back?" But unfortunately, we appointed a new art teacher. Some of you may remember Charles Hallam and his wife and daughters who worshipped here. I wonder they can claim to study the Bible. This is what he said. This is what the Jehovah's Witnesses say on their site. I've put it in blue type. I'm quoting from their manual. What have we just heard from Hebrews? They say they worship, they study the Bible. They don't. They reject it. Some of their beliefs echo ours. We would agree with this. Jesus came to earth, perfect human life, died as a ransom, death and resurrection. Faith in him gives us eternal life. But think about this verse we should all know. I'm glad it wasn't our memory verse, because you should all know it anyway. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. John 3:16. You should know that already. But if Jesus is not God, it reads, God picked on some poor human, chosen to be a victim. God, it's as though I said to you, I love you so much, Richard, I'm going to take some money from Martin and give it to you. What kind of a statement is that? How much less than this? God cares so much for you and me that he came down and died himself for us. Praise God that we have so much more love than the Jehovah's Witnesses can claim. And then we come to Islam. And again, I'm going to quote from one of their websites. Talking about Jesus, they say, though they abused him, he never renounced his faith in the one Almighty God. So in their anger, they plotted to crucify him on a Roman cross. But Jesus slipped from their grip at the last moment, and all the while they thought they had succeeded. Hey, hang on, who is this they who grip he slipped from? And this, they were sure they killed him. Well, all his friends at the time thought he was dead, and the Roman officer who was responsible for his death. But Almighty God answered Jesus' prayers and saved him from the schemes. Confusion overtook the mob. What mob? There wasn't a mob. You read the Gospels, no mob. It was a little group and the Roman soldiers in the end. Confusion overtook the mob and they might have killed the man who betrayed Jesus instead. Ooh, they don't know what happened. In any case, Jesus escaped from their grasp. Muhammad, who made this story up, was born in 570 AD and started to found his religion in about 610. It is as though I told you that historians had got it all wrong and that in 1445, Henry VI was not King of England. I had to look it up, actually. I don't remember much about 1445. I don't know whether you do. But it's that long ago. And Muhammad claims that he knew better than all the eyewitnesses who's recorded their word. And if you look at the dates for the Gospels, the latest dates are still within the time of living people. And he says this. This is a Muslim website. Muslims respect and venerate Jesus Christ. They consider him to be one of Almighty God's greatest messengers to mankind. The Quran affirms his miraculous birth and his miraculous abilities. So you think he's a miracle worker, which Muhammad was not, but less than Muhammad. It does not make sense. Let us cling on to this passage. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. You're probably familiar with this picture by Holman Hunt, The Light of the World. If you aren't, you ought to be. It's a lovely picture of Jesus. It's a picture from Revelation of Jesus knocking on the door of entry. And deliberately, when Holman Hunt painted this barn door, he took the handle off. There's no handle on the outside. It is a handle for us to welcome God in. The light of the world. Perhaps you're not so familiar with this, and I'm sorry, some of the children may like to look away, except they are already. It's not so nice. The scapegoat. That's another of the symbols of Jesus. The scapegoat, who in the Jewish religion, took away the sins of the people into the wilderness. Which is why Holman Hunt drew it as a symbol of Jesus taking away our sins. Jesus is God Almighty, the one who died to carry out our sins. Remember this verse. Who is Jesus? The God who loved us and died for us. Of course, it's a bit difficult to understand. Now, I'm going to confuse you a bit more. Here is a picture of an experiment carried out by a person called Young in 1801. He shone a light through two little slits. And you'd think that that would mean there'd be two spots on the screen. But actually, light is a wave and it interferes. So instead of two spots, you get this, lots of spots. And so he showed in 1801 that light is a wave. And it produces other brilliant patterns. I like this one. It's one of my favorite butterflies. It's it's a morpho blue. Now, there is no blue on that butterfly's wing. Each of the scales on its wing has little ridges, and they make the light interfere to show blue. So, light is a wave. Oh, and so are electrons. They can behave in the same way. Hang on a second. Atoms are made up of electrons and a few other bits, and they seem solid enough to me. My hand is fairly solid. And it gets worse, because some clever person more recently showed that if you get a laser and you fire beams of light, well, one particle at a time, so light is a wave and light is a particle, I'm getting lost. If you do it one at a time, they don't go through one slit or the other. They appear to go through both at the same time. Now, frankly, I'm lost. I can tell you these things because I've read about them, but I don't understand them. So if I don't understand light, which we're all experiencing just at this moment, how on earth would I expect to understand God? Our God is complicated. Our God is complicated. So that the Son is the image of the invisible God. We can't see God, but at least we can picture Jesus, because he's like one of us. If he wandered in now, dressed in modern clothing, we would just say, hello, welcome to our service. But he's the God who made everything. So I'm not surprised I can't understand it. Just remember that we have an almighty God whose fullness dwelt in Jesus. And through Jesus, he reconciled to himself all things, whether on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. So remember, we've got an almighty God who loves us and died for us, even if he is a bit complicated. Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you that you so loved us, that you came to earth to die for us. And you love us so much that because of this love, those who trust in you can come to heaven to be with you forever. Amen.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website, www.stjamestaunton.co.uk, and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.